All right, a pleasure to have everyone back with us on this Sunday morning. The Giants try to avoid the sweep at the hands of the Chicago White Sox. Lucas Giolito today. It is a bullpen game for the Giants. They start with John Brebbia. Then I assume we'll see probably Sean Jelly. I imagine he'll get activated. And that's what we'll see today out at the old ballpark. Bruce Jenkins, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. What's going on?
Well, it was a tough one yesterday. That was a tough game, and the Giants, you know, they generally don't make that many mistakes. A couple of fielding errors, and then, boy, Jock Peterson came in and threw the arms up, and you knew it was not good.
Yeah, you know, they're in such a bad spell hitting-wise that they can't afford to play shoddy defense, and unfortunately that's what happened. You know, the ball was right at him. It's like a backspin liner from Sheets, and it's sometimes that can be a little deceiving as to where it's, you know, where it's headed, where and where how you are in relationship to it. And he obviously misplayed it badly, and it cost him two runs. And then in the sixth, you've got what could be a double play to end the inning, and Walton's got all day to throw, and he throws it way wide of first base. And you know, these things, you can't have this when you're not hitting. And it led to another discouraging loss.
Well, it seems like it happens every day. And, you know, Danny Emmerman, who covers the Giants for KNBR.com, had some interesting things today. I'll just throw a couple of these things out of you. Giants are two games out of the wild card, which is doesn't sound like much, but they were two games ahead of the wild card, you know, a few days ago. There's still 51% playoff odds from Fangraphs. They're 42-34, which is they should be 42-34, and the Pythagorean theory. And then here's two, Bruce. They're 29th in team outs above average, which means they're not converting balls in play into outs. And here's a good one for you. You'll love this. The bean count. Ready? It measures home runs and walks for and against. The Giants are second in the National League behind only the Dodgers, and that's good. They're controlling what they can control. So there are some points here that they're still very good as a team, but, boy, they are struggling right now.
Yeah, you know, the balls in play production stat is a good one. I'm going to have to put a pot of beans on for that other one. But
really? The bean count, come on.
Yeah, playoff odds and percentages mean absolutely nothing. What a worthless exercise. I'm sure they have fun doing it. That means absolute zero. Yeah, they got a 10% chance of doing this, or he had a 58% chance of catching that ball. Horrible. All of it's ridiculous. Get rid of it all. I don't pay attention to any of that because it never works out. It's sports. It's, you know, have fun with all that. But, let's put it this way. Tomorrow they get Rodon and Bumgarner in a big division game, and they're away from the park, not that you want to get away from home, but, you know, sometimes getting on the road can shake things up a little bit. They certainly don't want to get caught from below in the West. I don't think they will, but that's a big one. That's a big one for Rodon and, you know, Bumgarner, of course, that goes without saying. And we'll see how that one works out. Arizona got two homers from Christian Walker. The guy's got 21 homers now, and they still lose to Colorado. But, you know, I think the bigger picture for the Giants is they need to do something at the trade deadline. They just
It's interesting you say that. Did you read John Shea's story this morning in the Chronicle?
I'm just getting around to the Chronicle. It's sitting in my kitchen. Haven't read it yet.
Okay. Well, he listened to our show yesterday. Let me tell you that. Because he said exactly what we said about Aaron Judge, about they need a jolt. They need something to give this team a little bit of life right now. And he basically was our show from yesterday. So I agree. I think anyone who follows the ball club realizes they're dead in the water right now. And it needs a few wins. A few things have to go right to get this thing going.
Yeah, it's funny with the wild card. You're right. They're not in that bad a position. It's kind of looking like between them and the Phillies for that last spot, and there's really nobody below them. I don't see Miami or Arizona, Colorado getting into that, so it's kind of cut and dry. You know, they got to watch out for the Phillies, and they got to stay, you know, a few games above 500, which they are. They're four games over 500 right now, and then you get the Cardinals, the Padres, and the Braves, and, you know, those teams look, they all look much better than than the Giants. They just do. I mean, the Cardinals yesterday, they hit four consecutive homers. One of them was with Arenado. And then the Phillies, who we're talking about as a rival of the Giants, come all the way back to tie that game, but then Arenado wins it with a homer. I mean, you know, these are the kinds of things we don't see at Oracle. We're not seeing stuff like this. So they're looking at that last wild card spot, and the Phillies are dangerous.
Yep. The rest of baseball, things are happening, and it's just not happening for the Giants right now. And, you know, the good part is there's still a lot of baseball left to be played, and you have the trade deadline. And I honestly feel, and John said it in the column, and you and I have said it, I think they need a jolt somewhere. Someone's got to walk into that clubhouse, and it's got to be different than what they've got. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Today's matchup is interesting. Not that it's a bullpen game that doesn't make that interesting for the Giants, but Giolito. And this guy, Bruce, was an outstanding pitcher for a number of years, and now he can't get anybody out, and his numbers are off the charts in a poor direction.
Yeah, he's kind of walking on thin ice with the White Sox. You look at Dylan Cease, the sliders he was throwing up with the Giants yesterday. He's tremendous. Lance Lynn looks really good. Cueto's been very good. So Giolito's kind of he's fading a little bit from the picture. He's a guy with fantastic stuff. I don't know exactly what's going on with him, but this should be a game that if he's going to rebound, if he catches the Giants when they're not hitting, if they rack him up, it's a great thing for the Giants, and especially another bad development for Giolito. But the White Sox will be okay.
Yeah, Giolito is one of those. He throws 93, and then the curveball is 80. That Zach Greinke look. So we should see a lot of that today. So we'll see what happens. But they got to break this losing streak. It's at 3 right now. All-star voting is going on now, and I know it's always exciting. But phase 2 is happening. It sounds like condominiums in Del Boca Vista here. Phase 2. They have two at each position, and you get to vote for one, and that will be the starter. Now, Acuña and Judge are automatic starters because they got the most votes. But I'm going to give you a couple and see what you think. And we did this with the professor, Ron Wotus, who was interesting. Paul Goldschmidt, Pete Alonso, first base. Who do you vote for?
Oh, Goldschmidt's out of sight. He's unbelievable. He's hitting for average, for power. He's hitting in the clutch. Freddie Freeman's kind of faded out of that a little bit, although he's doing all right, but I don't think it's not Freeman's time right now. I love Alonso, but Goldschmidt's off the charts.
Okay, all right. How about a catcher? This is a good one. Wilson Contreras of the Cubs, who I know the Giants fans would love to see him in orange and black, and Travis d'Arno from Atlanta. He's having a good year.
Yeah, I'm going Will Smith. Will Smith is striking images of Buster Posey in L.A. He's got that same, not a baby face, but a youthful look. He's very soft-spoken. He hits for power. He's a leader. I like Contreras. I like Real Muto as well, but I think Will Smith is the guy.
Okay, very good. Second base, the two top right now are Albies and Chisholm, and they're both injured, but if they were playing, who would you take there?
If they were playing... I think I'd take probably Chisholm, but I'd go with Tommy Edman or McNeil.
Okay.
Those guys are playing great. It's a total toss up between there's four guys right there. I think if I were putting the team together, I'd put Edman out there.
All right. By the way, I'm very impressed with this because we didn't rehearse this, and you're coming up with very good, Bruce. This is good for Sunday morning. Very good. Shortstop, Trey Turner or Dansby Swanson.
Swanson's having a great year, but I love Turner. The idea of the Dodgers losing Turner is just, if I'm a Dodger fan, is inexcusable. This guy's hitting for power now. He hits for average. He's a dramatic, fun player to watch. He's been really good for a team that a lot of other things haven't gone right, up and down, injuries and this and that. Love Swanson, but I'm going with Turner.
Okay. Now, how about this? Woe had trouble with this one. Manny Machado and Arenado at third base.
Yeah, I'm always going to have trouble with that. I think the fact that Machado's been out a little bit and Arenado right now is just completely going off, you got to go with him. But I'm with Wotus. I go right back and forth there. Either one of those guys, those are two legendary guys right there. And great, great fielders. Oh, my goodness. I think Arenado would be my guy.
Well, he gets a little help from Goldschmidt, but
yeah,
Machado,
he sure
is,
does. Yeah,
he's alone in this Padre thing.
Yeah, now I'm back to Machado. You just talked me out of it.
Okay, very, very good. All right, and the outfield. Now you get to pick two of these guys, and these are the top four that are left because Acuna's out of the picture now. Mookie Betts, who's supposed to come back today. Jock Peterson, he of the line drive. Starling Marte or Adam Duvall of Atlanta?
Well, I think Mookie deserves it. He has been hurt, but everybody knows that he's probably the best outfielder in the league. He's certainly one of them. And, you know, star power matters in the game, so I'm going with him. And then I'm going to go Jock. He's the one guy in the Giants lineup for me where I got to see the at-bat. If they hit for him, I'm upset. If he's not playing, I'm upset. I've got to see that at-bat. And my wife's right there with me on that one. He's having a tremendous year offensively, not so much on defensive end, but he's a colorful guy. He's getting to be known around the league. And I don't think Marte or Duvall have enough credentials to pass him. So those are my two.
Good, very good. All right, it's fun. And we'll find out Thursday who the starters are. Then I guess the commissioner's office, the players, and the local Safeway clerk, they pick the rest of the team. So
yeah, that's right. Safeway is going to have the final say.
Right, they have the final say, and who knows who else they're going to get involved with this with Major League Baseball. But that's a little bit of the All-Star thing, so it's fun. There was news, I don't know if you saw it, the Kumar Rocker, and for fans who don't know it, the Mets picked him last year in the draft, and then they didn't sign him because he had arm trouble. He was fabulous at Vanderbilt, a big no-hitter.
Yeah.
And he's been in the independent league pitching because the draft is coming up. And he's done great down there. He's throwing in the high 90s. And Boris just revealed yesterday that he had shoulder surgery a few months ago to clean some things up. How about that?
Jeez. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, if you think of all the potential there, If Rocker somehow would be able to pitch this season, Scherzer's got to make a. I think he's going to do something on Tuesday. I don't know if he's started for the Mets or he's starting.
Yeah, Scherzer's
starting for the Mets
Tuesday. Yeah,
and DeGrom is pitching his first rehab injury start today. So that's if you suddenly add those three guys to the team for the stretch drive. I mean, good grief! I would think with Rocker that's a real long shot, but. I don't know much about him except from what I saw in Vanderbilt. I loved watching him in the College World Series. Totally electric stuff. But I guess he had a very quiet shoulder surgery there.
Yeah, no one knew. Come on. Yeah. No one knew, and he went out and pitched, and now Boris had to reveal it because the draft is coming up.
Yeah.
And when Keith Law was on, Keith Law a few weeks ago said, you know, somebody's going to pick this guy, and he is going to be in the big leagues this year. The arm is that good where he can come out of the bullpen and help someone. So Kumar Rocker, it's a name to remember.
Yeah, and I take it back. He's going to be up in the draft. He's not with the Mets. But yeah, he's a good arm to watch. There are a lot of people in that College World Series that kind of opened your eyes a little bit. And very quickly, I miss the days when they had the draft before the College World Series. So you could watch. We watched Buster Posey in the College World Series, knowing he was coming to the Giants. And you could do that with players all the way across the board. And it was very instructive to know who's coming and who you like and who you don't. But anyway.
Yeah, and those days are gone. Now they have the draft during the All-Star break, and I think it's July 17th, which would be 2 weeks from today.
Yeah.
So they're going to have it on Sunday with the Futures game, I guess, somewhere in the mix and all that stuff. I don't know. I love the NFL draft. I love the NBA draft. The baseball draft, it's difficult because you don't know anybody.
Well, you know why I love it and I watch the whole thing start to finish is because you start to learn a little bit about people. It's only a few video clips, but you'll see somebody swing that you won't forget, or you see somebody, you know, make a play. You see somebody mix speed with a real tight swing. I love those video clips. And I just think maybe they tell you nothing, but maybe something will stick in your head. And when they do, when the guy gets, you know, comes to play for you, you remember a little bit. You see, maybe you start following in the minors because you like what you see. I love the baseball draft.
Yeah, Harold Reynolds does a great job. I mean,
yeah.
he'll give you the good and bad on a player.
Yeah.
He's very good. There's a new name for the Kansas City Royals. I just wanted to throw it out at you. They brought him up. He's one of their top minor leaguers. They traded Santana to Seattle, and they brought up Vinny Pasquantino. Come on, he's got to be good, right? Come
yeah, and he's
Vinny
also
Bambino.
The caterer.
Come on,
he's also
know.
The caterer, and that bodes well for the post game.
Vinny Pasquantino is yeah. up with Kansas City at first base. I love it. The baseball names are the best.
They're good. They really are.
All right, a historical note from today, 1966, and God, I remember this one, Bruce. Tony Cloninger, Atlanta Braves, unbelievable, hits two grand slams against the Giants at Candlestick, and they win 17-3. How about that?
He's got two grand slams by the fourth inning. What's he going to do after that? Yeah, that was the first year of the Atlanta Braves, which is horrible news for me and especially Dwayne Kuiper, who loved the Milwaukee Braves and hated to see them leave. That didn't make any sense. But here comes Cloninger, pretty average pitcher. He did win 24 games in one season, but you know, kind of a. Definitely a big league starter, but nothing terribly special. Pretty good hitter, but not like, you know, Warren Spahn or Don Newcomb or the guys who could really hit, or Bumgarner. So he hits a grand slam in the first inning off Bob Pretty. I'm sure Giants fans will never forget that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that they scored seven in the inning. Joe Torre hit a 3-run homer in that same inning. Then in the fourth, he comes up there against Ray Sadecki, who's just in town for a month or so, coming in town for the Cepeda trade, and people are going, oh, my God, what are we going to get from this guy? And he gives up a grand slam to Cloninger. So, I mean, what a day. At the time, the only four guys had done that, hit two grand slams in a game, including a couple of San Francisco guys, Tony Lazzari and Jim Gentile, Marty.
Yeah.
But it's happened a few times since then, but for a pitcher to do it by the fourth inning, that's like ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, and it only can happen at Candlestick. I mean, of all the places it had to happen, it had to be at Candlestick. Boy, I mean, Jim Gentile is from Sacred Heart, from San Francisco, and did it against the Minnesota Twins in 1961.
That was one of his big years, I think, yeah.
Yeah, no, come on. Jim Gentile was fabulous, and he was stuck behind Gil Hodges. And
yeah, Dodgers, big power hitter.
Yeah, Dodgers traded him to the Orioles, and he had a very good career. Still with us, lives in Oklahoma City. I always see something about him on the internet. Jim Gentile,
mm-hmm.
that's a good one. Well, tomorrow's July 4th. You and I'll be on tomorrow. Let's look at the races tomorrow. July 4th is a good marker of a baseball season. It's just about the halfway point. So let's take a good look at the races tomorrow, and I'll look forward to chatting with you.
Sounds good. Me too, Marty. Thanks a million.
All right. Great. Thanks, Bruce. All right. More coming up. Peter Golenbach is coming up next, and he's got a tremendous book out. It's called Whispers of the Gods, and it's first-hand stories from a number of baseball players. It's really enjoyable, and Peter and I will talk about it when we come back right after this.